The first scripture reading for this All Saints Day is found in your Bibles in the book of Revelation. We read at chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, a scene of the saints in heaven. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and all around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said it to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the first epistle of John, the third chapter, and we read verses 1 through 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. So we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. "Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text could have been just about any verse in your gospel lesson for today, but I'm going to pick the one that sounds the worst. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is our text. How many of you hearing those words that I just spoke would naturally come to the conclusion that you should be happy about being persecuted, reviled, and have all kinds of false statements made about you? And yet, really, all of the beginning of chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, is about counting yourself blessed when things are happening to you where most people would say, that's a curse. But God doesn't see the world in the same way that the world sees it. One of the consistent messages of Scripture is that the saints, by the way, that's you and me, and all who have put their faith in God's sacrifice of his own son upon the cross and in his resurrection, all the saints are committed to thinking more like God's way than the world's way. And that includes finding blessings in places nobody else would look for them. Above all else, we see it in the cross, that human torture device that we place at the front of churches, which we talk lovingly about. That one hymn, I will cling to the old rugged cross. Who wants to cling to a torture device? We do. Because we know that through it, God brought about our redemption. But one of the real challenges for us as saints, who at least can see God bringing good out of something like that, is to apply his promise to all that goes on in our lives. And like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, look for blessings where the rest of the world wouldn't even think to look. You know that I'm sort of fond of using my family as sermon illustrations. And one time in one of my children's life, there was a pretty significant event that it was hard to see any good coming out of. And yet God turned it into a great blessing. If you have more than one children, you know that all your children aren't the same. For instance, my son Jonathan. Hi, John. For him, straight A's wasn't a struggle. My other two children sort of envied that about you, you know. But for my oldest son, A's and B's required a sweat. Now, my children didn't suffer from a lack of high expectations, particularly from their father. One could fail, but you better have a pretty good excuse for doing it. And although my oldest son, as he went through high school, and Daniel's not here, hi Daniel, Sadie and Abby, they're watching live stream. When my oldest son went through school, he had to break a sweat for his A's and B's, and once in a while, maybe a C. That is up until the time he went to Ames, Iowa, to become an electrical engineer. Now, this one sitting here, I think he could have done it, but he had no desire to. That pretty much right, John? The other one tried to do it, and suddenly A's and B's and a rare C became C's and D's and even an F. Those of you who are electrical engineers, and we have some way in the back there. Daryl brought me a book one day, and he showed me one of the formulas that he had to memorize to become an electrical engineer. It didn't fit on two pages. All my children are different. They all have different gifts. But memorizing formulas like that was not one of my oldest son's capabilities. And I remember him calling me one day and basically telling me that he was about to fail school. Now, telling that to a father of high expectations is not the most welcome thing that somebody likes to do. But as we talked about it, I became convinced that it just wasn't his gift. And we talked about on the phone that maybe perhaps one day God will even take this failure and bring about a blessing through it. I told him if he wanted, he could come home. But I remember him telling me on the phone, no, there's one more thing I'm going to try. And he went and he talked to a very good counselor and found out that his gifts weren't electrical engineering. Now, this particular child of mine, unlike the second one that's here, he used to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning cleaning his room. He didn't get that from me or mom. I don't know where he got it from. But he had a gift for organizing things, and there was another engineering field that was right up his alley. And so he ended up getting a job as an industrial engineer, or at least one that he was capable of through that degree, and guess who he was overseeing in that job he finally landed? Electrical engineers. The thing that he couldn't do, he ended up overseeing. And all of that background, even in those classes he couldn't do, they became a blessing to him. Blessed are you. Even in failures? Even when you're mourning? Even when you're meek? Even when you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness? The glory of the gospel is that it gives us the ability, even in the worst of times, believe that God can bring blessings through that. It's not just through the ugliness of the cross that God brings blessing. It's through persecutions, through false statements against us, through tragedy, and through trouble, that we who put our faith and trust in that cross learn to expect something different than the rest of the world expects. Each and every day, we all have our own failures. But God tells us that even in our failures, He can bring about a blessing. Most people hate to fail, hate to admit it. One of the things that people hate most in terms of just regular activities is public speaking. If you would like to be in my place right now, preaching to a crowd of people, raise your hand. There is a couple. But for most people, speaking in front of a bunch of other people is something they would rather never do. Because, you know, we are kind of exposed up here. If I make a mistake, how many people see it? Everyone. Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian, had a wonderful joke about public speaking. He said one time that at a funeral, when asked to do the eulogy, more people would rather be in the casket than speaking the eulogy. And it's true. We have a fear of letting other people see our mistakes, our failures. But even in our mistakes and our failures, as was brought out in our epistle reading for All Saints, God wants us to know this. We are His children. And although we may not be pure from the world's point of view, we are pure and holy and righteousness in His sight. For those who repent, which, you know, you've heard me say this many times. For those who change how they're thinking, believe the good news about God, we don't have to fear failures anymore. We don't have to fear persecutions anymore. We don't have to fear people saying false things about us. Don't have to fear mourning. We don't have to fear what the world can do with us. We don't have to fear even death itself. Because in Christ, it has all been conquered for us. And as our free gift, through faith in Him. Anyone who is in Christ is not a failure. Anyone who is in Christ is a pure and perfect child of God. We opened our service with that hymn, For All the Saints. And my dear friends in Christ, that's not just the people who are living right now with Jesus in heaven. That is you and I and all who put their faith and trust in Him. And because of that, in all things, we can count ourselves as being blessed by God. Sometimes it will take time to understand the fullness of the blessings that we have in Him. Indeed, until we reach our heavenly goal of living with Christ in heaven, we're not going to know the fullness of the joys and the love and the peace that is already ours in Christ. But by faith, we can say this in all things. We are children of God. We are blessed. We are saints through Him who loved us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which indeed surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.